engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, friends, the year has begun. Welcome to 2019. Happy New Year. I'm so grateful that so many of you joined me last night when we did a little time of prayer in the final half hour of 2018, and then in the first hour of 2019 at 12:30, so many of you joined me in a little brief time of prayer and reflection, and I was happy to lift up all your intentions to the Lord for this new year, all your needs and those of all your family. I'll be doing that each and every day in this new year, that is, praying for you, and so will our whole team. And that's why I want to start out by reminding you, and you might want to make it a practice in this new year, that whenever you have a prayer intention, a particular need, or anything that you want me and our team to pray for, go to prayerintentions.org, and we'll be happy to receive there as often as you want to come, as many intentions as you want to send us. We'll be happy to lift those up to the Lord. Prayerintentions.org. So happy New Year. Today is a lot of things, and I want to reflect on the fact that it's the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God, and it is also the World Day of Peace. And then I want to tell you about a special broadcast that I want to do tonight. But first, if you are among those few pro-life people that do not yet have this daily devotional, this too may be a good practice for the new year. It's just to spend a minute each day praying about pro-life, reflecting about it. And this book helps you to do it. It's called Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. And day today, the first of the year, we read in Revelation 21:6, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Reflection. God gives us the gift of life in units of years and months and days. And we likewise give it back to Him in days and months and years of faithful service. In the new year, let us put the defense of the unborn at the top of our priority list. Let us pray. Lord, enable me to devote more time, more energy, and more resources to the greatest human rights movement of our day, the pro-life movement. Amen. And what a good note on which to start the day, and of course, to start the year. And that note, that theme, that the right to life is in fact the priority, and of course, the weakest among us are the children in the womb, and that's why we defend them with the most energy and with the most priority. This theme intersects with the meaning of January 1st. First of all, it's the octave of Christmas. There are some feasts during the year that are so important that the church has an eight-day period of special emphasis, as if those 8 days are one day of celebration. And so it is with Easter, but so it is also with Christmas. So today is the octave of Christmas. It was a week ago today, and it is the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. And obviously, this ties in with the theme of the pro-life movement because we celebrate, honor, and defend motherhood. God brought salvation into the world by means of pregnancy, childbirth, motherhood. Today, as we continue in the Christmas season, which lasts for another 2 weeks, by the way, and we look at the manger scene from all different angles and perspectives and put the spotlight on various aspects of it. Today, the spotlight is on the mother, Mary as the mother of God. Jesus is God, and therefore she's the mother of God. Now, I have our little doggy here that wants to get up. Let's say hello, Happy New Year to Gianni. Giorgio, his older brother, is down there on the floor as well. He'll just sit here and listen together with all of us. The Feast of Mary, the Mother of God, reminds us of the central importance of motherhood. Now, it's not that she existed before God or that she is greater than God. Sometimes people can get confused because a mother exists, obviously, earlier in time than any of her children. But that is not the case here. It's not that she pre-existed God. That's impossible. It's that God became human. So in this divine person of Jesus, we have a human nature, and Mary is the mother of not just of the human nature, she is the mother of the person. So if this baby is her child, of course, both the conception and the birth were miraculous, she remained a virgin, but if she gave birth to this child, well then, she's the child's mother. Who is the child? The child is God. So Mary is indeed the mother of God. That we celebrate today. And it reminds us that this almighty eternal God, who could have come to us in any way he wanted to, chose motherhood. He chose to have a mother. And he chose who that mother would be. Now, that's not something any of the rest of us could do. But God, who pre-existed everything and everyone, and who is almighty, had the ability to choose whether or not to have a mother and, in fact, who it would be. What an honor this eternal choice of Mary for Christ. And that's important, too. It is for Christ. It is in Christ. It is through Christ. It is because of Christ that Mary is special. We should never think that she has a specialness apart from or detracting in any way from Jesus. It's just the opposite. It's because all the focus is on this child. It's because of the greatness of who he is that we honor also the woman whom Scripture tells us was his mother. So this is a feast day today to renew our appreciation in defense of motherhood, because motherhood is under attack. Abortion attacks and destroys motherhood. It is something promoted by enemies of motherhood, enemies of what is truly feminine, enemies of the kind of love that Mary embodies. This feast renews our pro-life commitment to defend and promote motherhood, and to remind people that it is never a proper act of motherhood to kill your child. It's so completely the opposite of anything and everything that motherhood does or can ever stand for, that it defies the imagination how totally opposite this can be from any kind of act of love. But I say that because there are some promoters of abortion who actually try to paint it as an act of love, as an act of good motherhood. I think of the book, The Sacrament of Abortion, written by Jeanette Paris years ago. She says that abortion is actually a sacred act. Motherhood can either give life or take life, and you choose which one according to the circumstances. That's absurd. There is nothing more diametrically opposed to love, diametrically opposed to motherhood, than the killing of children by abortion. Now, today is also the World Day of Peace, and this intersects very nicely with our commitment to pro-life, brothers and sisters, because you cannot have peace if you're killing children. It's as simple as that. The reason it's the World Day of Peace, by the way, this is the 52nd World Day of Peace. The Church designates certain days, the Catholic Church acknowledges certain days as having a special significance, and of course, we hear the Christmas announcement. What did the angels say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. The coming of Christ is the coming of the Prince of Peace. He is our peace, Scripture tells us. He brings peace. Of course, he also said he comes to bring division, but there he's speaking about another aspect of his mission. But he is the Prince of Peace, and the making of peace in Christ and by Christ means, as we sing in another Christmas carol, God and sinners reconciled. So he establishes peace where there was enmity, where there was alienation, where there was opposition, where there was rebellion against God. By sin, Christ makes peace. That's the fundamental peace. We are now not only reconciled with God, we become his sons and daughters. We share his very life. Christmas, that exchange of natures, God giving us his divinity, we giving him our humanity. So in that sense, peace is at its foundation. But then what this means is we are to be at peace with one another. That's why New Year, the start of a new year, is such a great time for putting grudges and anger and bitterness and alienation and enmity behind us. Leave it. leave it with the pages of 2018 and don't let it stain the pages of 2019. Let's have a fresh start in our relationships with others. Why? Because if Christ came for peace between humanity and God, he came to offer that to everyone. So we look at our neighbor and we say, well, Christ came for him too. Christ came for her too. Christ was born for them. Christ died for them. Christ rose for them. Christ is coming back for them. And we look at each other with new eyes, therefore, and see each other in the light of the love God has for them. How can we love God and not love those that God loves? How can we welcome Christ and not welcome everybody else that he welcomes? The gift of his coming puts an obligation on us to welcome all human life. And there's the basis of peace. We're not going to reject or exclude. We're not going to discriminate or oppress. We're going to welcome. Despite the differences that people have, we're going to start with the fundamental conviction that they are equal and that no matter how inconvenient they may be, we're going to make room, we're going to make a place for them at the table of humanity. So this attitude of welcome is clear. Now, the church's message for today's 52nd World Day of Peace is actually about politics. And it talks about good politics being at the service of peace. And it says, here's the starting point. When we say peace be with you, as God says to us, as Christ said numerous times, it is directed first of all to the individual whom we recognize without discrimination. Brothers and sisters, what is the worst and most destructive form of discrimination today? The worst and most destructive form of discrimination anywhere in the world is, in fact, abortion. You could discriminate against somebody if you did. It's wrong. But one might discriminate against somebody based on the color of their skin and say, well, because of the color of your skin, you're not going to have equal access to education or employment opportunities or voting rights. This, of course, was what the civil rights movement battled against 5 decades ago. The evil of segregation is wrong, prejudice, racism. I'm going to deprive you of certain things, opportunities in life, because of some characteristic you have, where you were born or what color your skin is. Well, think about how much more evil it is to say, I'm going to deprive you not just of education, not just of health care, not just of voting rights, not just of employment opportunities, not just of the right to access public services and goods. I'm going to deprive you of life itself. Based on what? Based on the fact that you're still in your mother's womb. How can it be that depriving somebody of going to a particular school because of their skin color is bad, which it is, but depriving somebody of life itself because of how young they are is somehow okay? Let's think about it again. You deprive somebody of life, you've deprived them of education, have you not? There are no schools for dead people. You've deprived them of health care. They have no health anymore because they have no life. You've deprived them of the right to vote. You've deprived them of the right to travel from one country to another. You've deprived them of protection from terrorism, crime, of violence. You've deprived them of everything. And based on what? It's a prejudice. It's a discrimination that somehow the unborn, well, let's just quote Roe v. Wade, the word person as used in the Constitution does not include the unborn. So this is fundamentally contrary to peace. You cannot claim to be building or embracing peace. You cannot claim to be welcoming other people and embracing human rights and defending human equality if you tolerate abortion. Can't do it. Too many politicians and the Democratic Party as a party think that you can. They think that they can stand up all self-righteous and say, we stand for human rights and we want to welcome people from all around the world. But babies in the womb, they're not people. They don't have constitutional rights. You can slice them up and throw them in the garbage. This is exactly the position of so many politicians and of the official position of the Democratic Party. So brothers and sisters, on this World Day of Peace, we have to repent of that. We have to turn away from that way of thinking. We have to stop fooling ourselves and stop trying to fool others. And you can be sure that every day of this new year, we will be speaking this message to the politicians of today and looking right in their face and saying, stop fooling yourself, stop trying to fool the voters into thinking that somehow it's a tenable position to defend and advocate for human rights and to destroy at the same time the most fundamental human right, which is the right to life. John Paul II said this very well in a document he wrote in 1988 called Christi Fidelis Laici. He said the common outcry on behalf of human rights is false and illusory if the right to life, the most fundamental right and the condition for all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination, end of quote. It's so clear. It's so simple. The World Day of Peace is January 1st. We start the new year off with the echo of the angels in our minds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace to people of goodwill. Let everyone's rights be respected. Let everyone be given his or her due. Let everyone be welcomed at the table of life. Let everyone be equal before the law. This can only happen by completely abolishing abortion. That's why tonight I invite you to join me again here on this Facebook channel at 9 p.m. because I want to give you a brief message at that time about 10 New Year's resolutions for being pro-life, 10 things you can do this year to be more effective and active pro-life people. Join me at that time, 9 o'clock tonight. Spread the word, get other people to watch. We're going to talk about 10 pro-life resolutions for the new year, and you can choose whichever ones you want, hopefully all 10 of them, because they won't be difficult to implement, but they will be important. And there are different ways that you and I can advance this great, great cause that we call the pro-life cause. So I wish you again a happy new year, happy 2019. It's going to be a year of great progress. It's going to be a year where I look forward to more and more interaction with you. For those of you that support us at Priests for Life, let's continue that support. Let's increase that support. Those of you that are involved in our projects, let's push very hard for them. I told you the other day all the different things we'll be doing in just a few weeks in Washington, D.C., and also at the Walk for Life in San Francisco. And I look forward to seeing so many of you at those events and at many other events in between and all throughout the year. So now may the Lord bless you. May he give you peace in this new year. May he give you joy. And through the intercession of Mary, may he protect you and your loved ones and give you the answer to all your prayers. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.